They've taught her to do something, and I'd like you to do it with me. First, you give yourself a hug. Squeeze real tight. Take a deep breath, then let it out and let your arms go. Okay? Feel just a little bit better? I hope so. I hope this coming week is more peaceful for all of you. And this morning's prayer, I just find very comforting. So I suggest keep this bulletin with you this week. As you get stressed out, as you run into those circumstances, give yourself that hug really tight, take the deep breath, let it out, and reread this prayer. Please join me. Gracious God, you invite us to celebration of praise, a praise made possible because we can give our worries and our burdens to you. You take from us the concerns that weigh us down, the stresses of life, the challenges of work and relationships. In exchange, you give us peace, blessed and blissful peace. It doesn't make sense. Nothing outward has changed, yet when we place ourselves in your care, nothing is the same. And for that, we humbly stop and say, thank you. Guide our hearts so that we may be filled with the power of God in and through Christ Jesus. Amen. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. It can also be found on the screens. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The written word today, we have two readings. The first one comes from Matthew chapter 17, verses 5 through 9, and Ephesians chapter 3, 14 to 21. They're found on page 894 and 1065 in the Worship Center Bible, and also on the screens. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Matthew 17, 5 through 9. While Peter was still speaking, the shadow of a bright cloud passed over them. From the cloud, a voice said, "This is my dear son, and I am pleased with him. Listen to what he says." When the disciples heard the voice, they were so afraid they fell flat on the ground. But Jesus came over and touched them. He said, "Get up and don't be afraid." When they opened their eyes, they saw only Jesus. On their way down from the mountain, Jesus warned his disciples not to tell anyone what they had seen until after the Son of Man had been raised from death. You may be seated. Now from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. This section is entitled Christ's Love for Us. I kneel in prayer to the Father. All beings in heaven and on earth receive their life from him. God is wonderful and glorious. I pray that his Spirit will make you become strong followers and that Christ will live in your hearts because of your faith. Stand firm and be deeply rooted in his love. I pray that you and all of God's people will understand what is called wide or long or high or deep. I want you to know all about Christ's love, although it is too wonderful to be measured. Then your lives will be filled with all that God is. I pray that Christ Jesus and the church will forever bring praise to God. His power at work in us can do far more than we dare ask.
One more opportunity, and I don't know what you all came here to do today, but I came here to worship God in the name of Jesus Christ. And I am just so excited about doing just that. Well, our songbird this morning and our music director is not well, Miss Beverly Stewart Anderson. She had some dental surgery, and she is not well. She had a root canal, And so for those of you who have ever gone through something like that, you know it's not pleasant, but hers was a little bit more extensive. And so I invite you to continue to pray with her and for her. I thank Darren for finding some note over there that I might have been singing. I appreciate him. He is so great. And so it's a wonderful thing when you know, people can make you sound good, and you all made me sound even better. So thank you. But when the Lord just puts things on my heart, I think we should not quench the spirit. Amen. So the message today is part of a series. I do series, and those of you who know me and to our guests and visitors who may not know me, I welcome you on behalf of myself and Pastor Adrian Denson, who's at our Cooperative Parish Church, where she is the site pastor and lead pastor there. But this year we're talking about We Are More. And this sermon series, we are talking about road signs for life. You know, sometimes we go through life and we don't always see the signs. We are so busy sometimes, being very busy, marking off our to-do list, working on our jobs if we have one. God bless you if you have one, and that's working out for you. We get so wrapped up in stuff that we just don't take time to spend time with God. We don't even take time to spend time with our own selves. I mean, we don't take time to take care of ourselves. And so we've been talking about road signs for life. What are the signs? What do we need to be looking for in order to live a life that's not so chaotic, to live a life where we are not always playing the blame game, to live a life that somehow we seem to be getting and going somewhere. And so today's message, today's sign, we're talking about stop signs. Stop! It's a sign, is today's message. And we are about to start and go into starting Wednesday. On Wednesday, we are going to have our first service as we begin the season of Lent. For those who don't know what that is, it's that season, the 40 days in the life of the church, where that we began to prepare the way of the Lord. It is, thank you. It is that time in the church where we begin to fast and we begin to pray and we begin to just turn our minds to Jesus. Amen. Yeah, we started the year, right? I mean, we're 2 months into the year, and I can guarantee you that many people in this, within the sound of my voice, and this will later go out on the website, but within the sound of my voice, your calendar is too cluttered. Amen? Already, it's February, and things have happened in your life that you had no idea. We've lost loved ones. Some of us have had joys, new babies to come into our lives. But by now, by February the 26th, 2017, our calendars and our lives are just way too full. We may have an illness, or we may be having family problems. We may have gotten a windfall, and we just decided, I don't need church right now. Because you're not here. But anyway. But whatever is filling up your calendar or filling up your lives, whatever is happening today, I invite you to come and worship with us on Wednesday night, because we're going to do Holy Communion and we're going to do the imposition of the ashes and we're going to be blessing with oil and we're going to be talking about how we can invite the Lord into our lives in such a way that God, see, because we've tried to do it ourselves, right? We've tried to slow down. We've tried to all kinds of calendars, and we've tried, but we're going to be focusing on how the Lord can help us. Help us just move some stuff out of our lives that is not adding value to our lives, and allow God's Spirit to move in. Amen. Because when God moves in, amazing things happen, right? And so we're gonna be moving, okay? And so today, as we talk about this whole idea of stopping, and that stop is a sign, my sermon summary says it this way. It says, scientists say an octagon is one of the most attention-getting shapes. Red has tested as one of the most attention-getting colors. Stop signs are big and simple. Just four letters in white. S-T-O-P. There are always things that things in our life which are draining us, challenging us, and wearing us down. One thing we know is that when we are running on empty, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, all of us need to fill up. We need a fill up and refueling. And so this starting Wednesday and from now on in this sermon series, it's going to be all about filling up, amen, and refueling. We need to recognize the signs that lead us to Christ, because Christ is high octane, amen. It's the best of the best. We need to stop and be filled with the power that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. About 6 weeks ago, or it may have been a little bit more than that, it may have been right around the first of the year, I was on my way to church, because where else would I be on my way to, on Sunday morning. And I was coming down Vail Avenue, and I made that left turn off of Vail onto Newhalls Ferry Road. I guess that's going south. On Newhalls Ferry Road, and everything was fine until I got to the intersection of Lindbergh Boulevard and Newhalls Ferry Road. When I got to that intersection, as I was approaching that intersection, I noticed that the traffic lights were not working. Yeah, and everything up until that point was fine, but when I arrived at that intersection, amen, the lights were not working. And as I got there and drove into my lane to make my left turn going north on Lindbergh toward the church, I heard behind me the screech of brakes. Now, what the traffic department had done at that time is they put those little skimpy stop signs that look like they're on a little easel, amen? And I could hardly see him. Now, those who are part of St. Andrew know, on Sunday morning, I usually get here anywhere between 5:30, 5 a.m., no later than 6 o'clock. So my day, amen, has already been long. But I do that so that I can be in prayer and concentration. And so I stop at this little stop sign, and I hear the screech of brakes and go, oh, my God, my new car. But anyway, which isn't that new anymore. And I hear the screech of brakes, but the man behind me did not hit me. On the other side, on Lindbergh, there is a guy that was traveling so fast that he tried to stop, amen? You know, sometimes we get in situations that we may try to get out of them, amen? But he just slid right on through. And so he just kept on going. Then there was another person behind him that did what I call the St. Louis pause and go. Because we don't stop at stop signs. So he paused and drove right through. And because there was no direction, amen, because the traffic lights that normally guide us in that very busy intersection, people were not doing what they were supposed to, amen. And what they were supposed to be doing was give each other grace. To allow the person that there was their first to go and the person that was second to go. And what wound up happening is everybody was just going without caring for anybody else. Well, today's lesson from the gospel and the epistle both remind us that sometimes in order for the world to work and to be a better place, sometimes we just need to stop. And I know when I woke up that morning, I didn't expect that when I arrived at that intersection that there would not be any signs to give me direction. But you know, sometimes, many times, most of the time, God counts on us to follow directions even when we're not in the church. Even when we're not in our Sunday school class, all right? Sometimes God, now I'm going to take that back, all the time, God expects us to do the right thing, the right way, for the right reason, because we are God's people. And so I didn't expect that morning that I was going to have to figure out how to get through a very busy intersection. And I wonder, where are all these people going at 5:15 in the morning? But that's a whole nother sermon. One of the things that I do is when I become aware of something, I start to do research. I love to do research. And so what I did is begin to research what insurance companies may hear or experience or get in reports from people who have a tendency to get in accidents because they are unwilling or unable to slow down and stop, amen? And so here's just a few, and I had a bunch. One person in an insurance report said, coming home, I drove into the wrong driveway and collided with a tree that was not mine that stopped my car. Another one said, I pulled away from the side of the road and I glanced over at my wife, and the next thing I knew, my car had been stopped by a ditch. Another person in a report said, as I approached an intersection, a stop sign suddenly appeared in a place where no stop sign had ever appeared before. Then another said, the telephone pole was approaching. I was attempting to swerve out of the way when a stop sign struck the front end of my car. I was going so fast that I was unable to stop in time to avoid my accident. So we've been exploring this whole idea about signs and what signs are all about. We've been talking about this idea of paying attention and being aware and understanding the difference between involvement and the difference between commitment and what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. To share our time and to share our talent and yes, share our money and our service. To live and teach Christ-like values. We have been sharing and using signs as an object lesson, as something that you can look at and see every day and say, oh, I remember that sermon that Pastor Monica preached. I remember that sermon that Pastor Adrian preached. We have been sharing using signs as a lesson, as a reminder that sometimes our day, our week, our month, or sometimes our year doesn't always go the way we planned it. We need to stop and realize that Jesus came, and we started this gospel lesson is the bookend. We started out at the beginning of the year remembering our baptism. We started out at the beginning of the year being anointed with oil. We started out at the beginning of the year using our pebbles and our stones to remind us to be prayerful people. You know, I've been here 10 years and you've got a stone every year. I'd take some of them stones out of my purse. They get a little heavy after a while. But we still have them here, the prayer stones, to remind us to be a praying people, a people connecting with God each and every day. Because in that lesson at the beginning of the year, I reminded you that Jesus was baptized and broke into the world, who was baptized by John, who was the strange person. But he came into the world and was baptized to bring light into darkness. We have become so suspicious and so accustomed to thinking that everyone has an ulterior motive that we sometimes don't stop and understand that everybody isn't evil. We begin to think that our role is always catching somebody doing wrong. We are always ready to jeer and never ready to cheer or to celebrate. We're never ready to look for the silver lining, but we are always pointing to the clouds. The experience that Jesus had with his disciples today. This is Transfiguration Sunday, and on Transfiguration Sunday, we began to see that Jesus is connecting the past, and Jesus is connecting the present and the future. It's that time when Jesus took a few of his disciples up on a mountain. This is one of those mountaintop experiences, amen? He took them up on a mountain so that he could teach them. And something amazing happened. I don't know about you, but sometimes it can't be anything but the Lord that takes me up on those amazing mountaintops. Takes me to a place where I didn't even know that I needed to go, amen? You know, sometimes God will take you to places that you didn't think you needed to go. And on that mountain, they saw Elijah. On that mountain, they saw Moses. And Jesus transfigured, and he became a light, literally became light. And they immediately bowed down and began to worship when God said to Jesus, you know, at the Jesus baptism, the Holy Spirit, the dove came, and God said, listen to him. Well, the other bookend to that, he's getting ready to go to be crucified. He's getting ready to go to be resurrected. And once again, God comes and says, listen to him. And so on this Transfiguration Sunday, we are reminded that we often want to stay on the mountaintop, amen. We like our concerts, we like our worship services, we like our sun. Those are mountaintop experiences, people. But what we don't want to do is go out into the highways and go out into the byways. The text says that when they lifted up their eyes, they saw only Jesus. You see, that's where we need to get to, people, to that point where no matter what happens, good, bad, or whatever, the only thing that we need to see is Jesus. And so we're going to begin to talk about, and that's what we've been talking about with this road signs. How do we see Jesus? How do we see the pathway that always leads to light? Well, we need to stop. We need to stop and connect, because no matter where you are in your relationship with Jesus today, I want to challenge you to take the next step on the spiritual journey. To make a regular connection starting right now. To refuel in Jesus. Many of us want time with God. We want to do all the things that we know we should be doing. But we make all kinds of excuses. Not the right preacher. not the right church, not enough time. My kids got a basketball game. My kids got a football game. They got dance lessons. I got my grandchildren. I got my, you name it. But here's the challenge with that. One thing we know is that when we do all of that, which, by the way, are good things, when we do all of that, those are good things, in the end, we will need refueling. In the end, we cannot run on empty. In the end, we need direction. Just like that Sunday morning when I was on New Halls Ferry Road and I was used to having those traffic lights to guide and direct me, some days you're going to have those days when you are going to need to be self-directed with Jesus Christ being the director to make sure that you're doing the right thing just because you are God's people. And so I invite you just like that teacher from Sears Easy Lesson Driving School, which I wasn't so easy with the lessons, to stop and begin to count your blessings. There's gotta be one somewhere. There's gotta be one somehow, but to stop and take the next step on your spiritual journey. Declutter your calendar and declutter your life. That's what the season of Lent, the 40 days of Lent, are all about. That's why we ask you to fast. Now, here's the thing about fasting, about giving up for Lent, is that if you fast for 40 days and you don't learn anything, you don't do anything different. You know, people say, well, you know, Pastor, I'm giving up chocolate for Lent. That's nice. But if you come off of that fast and eat three times more chocolate than you did, fasting is about removing things from your life. And if you've given up chocolate, I didn't mean to be talking about you. But fasting is about removing those things from your life so that you can let the Lord shine through and help you to know what's next. That's what fasting is about. And so if you're a diabetic and you give up chocolate for Lent and then go back and sneak it where your wife can't find it, I'm not talking about nobody y'all know. I try. I love him, y'all. I do. Y'all help me, okay? Help me with him. If we're not willing to allow fasting and giving up and giving in to God to change us, then it's just an extra exercise in ritual. And so here's what I'm going to invite you to do. 7 is the number of completion. And so I invite you to take and think about one thing that you would like to give or give up. And for the 40 days of Lent, each and every day, you work on that. 7 days a week, you work on that. And at the end of that time of fasting, that time of giving up, because that's what giving up for Lent is too, by the way, it's a form of fasting. I pray that whatever that is filling up your life, that is not adding value, that you replace that with some time for the Lord. Whether it's time in devotion or time in prayer, whether it's making a commitment to be in worship, whether it's commitment to be a part of a Sunday school class or a small group, whether it's a commitment we're in our stewardship campaign to make sure you fill out a pledge card so that we will know accurately what God is doing through you, whether it is whatever it is, I invite you to commit that to the Lord. In the book of Ephesians, I think as we begin and as I end here, This is your pastor's prayer. This is my prayer for you. And then at 18, I want you to repeat the other half of prayer, as we will do it antiphonally. In Ephesians 3, this is what it says, and this is my prayer for you. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. You know, I bow my knees for you before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you may be strengthened in your inner being, power with and through his Holy Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. That's my prayer for you as your pastor and pastor of this congregation. Now we are going to do the rest of this. Repeat after me. I pray that you have the power to comprehend.
I pray that you have the power to comprehend.
It'd be nice if I can hear you. It's a lot more y'all than it is me. With all the saints.
With all the saints.
What is the breadth?
What is the breadth?
And length?
And length.
And height?
And height.
And depth?
And depth.
And to know that the love of Christ,
and to know that the love of Christ,
that surpasses knowledge,
that surpasses knowledge,
so that you may be filled,
so that you may be filled,
so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Let's try that again. So that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Now to him
who by the power at work within us is able
to
accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. To him be glory in the church and in Christ, in Christ Jesus,
to all
generations,
forever
and ever.
Amen.
And all God's people say amen. So I make this invitation. If you don't have that personal relationship, even though you prayed that prayer, if you don't know the God that I was talking about, if you don't have that personal relationship, or if you know you need refueling, I just ask you to take that prayer. It comes right out of the Bible. It's not something that the pastor made up. And read through that this week and maybe the 40 days of Lent. I invite you into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It is the best decision that you will ever make. And then, if you need prayer, nobody prays alone here. When the word goes forth, nobody prays alone. If you need just a little time to pray and have someone to pray with you, I invite you during this closing song to come forward. And if you would like to become a part of the membership of this congregation and this church, you may also come forward and we will seek and help you become a part of who we are, the ministry of St. Andrew. Andrew was known for bringing others to Christ, and that's what we're called to do. I invite you personally to stand.